Welcome to Untamed Blossoms, the podcast where we celebrate the wild and beautiful journey of womanhood. We're here to create a space where women can connect, inspire, and uplift each other. Untamed Blossoms is more than just a podcast. It's a movement. It's a gathering of strong, fierce women who are breaking free from society's expectations.
Our mission is to deep dive into the stories of incredible women who have embraced their authenticity, even in the face of adversity. We believe by sharing these stories, we can inspire others to do the same. Join us as we sit down with women from all walks of life who have faced their own struggles and emerged as the most authentic versions of themselves. From entrepreneurs to artists, activists to adventurers, we'll explore their triumphs and tribulations. Together, we'll navigate the challenges of self-discovery, self-acceptance, and self-love.
But Untamed Blossoms is more than just conversations. We're a community that gathers for events, immerses ourselves in the beauty of nature, and supports one another in our personal and professional growth. So whether you're seeking inspiration, looking for a supportive sisterhood, or simply want to hear incredible stories of women blazing their own trails, Untamed Blossoms is here for you. Together, let's embrace our wildness, bloom unapologetically, and rewrite the rules. Welcome to Untamed Blossoms.
All right, welcome to Untamed Blossoms. This is our very first podcast. Christy, how are you feeling?
Good. A little nervous.
Yeah. It's the first one, a little nerve-wracking, but I think we have some awesome things in store.
Yeah, I agree.
Today, we will be meeting with our very first guest, and we will be talking a little bit about her journey through creating art, and even more importantly, just some roadblocks maybe she has experienced throughout her time in finding her creative voice. So we'll be talking about imposter syndrome. Christy.
Yes. Imposter syndrome.
Yes. So yes. You've had some creative endeavors in your time. How has that shown up for you?
Oh, I think it shows up every time I do something new, to be honest. I'm being really, really vulnerable, every time I engage in some new activity, there's some level of imposter syndrome. Somebody's doing it better. I'm not doing it good enough. I'm not learning it fast enough. And that may be one of my toxic traits, is that I'm just really hard on myself and I want to be good at everything that I try immediately. And I think a lot of women suffer in that same vein, that they want to, you know, be perfect at it, whether that's a creative endeavor, motherhood, wife, employee, you know, there's in all the veins, right? And so we don't give ourselves grace as much as we give others grace. And so I think imposter syndrome shows up in a lot of different ways where we just don't feel like we're good enough or we're doing it well enough. And especially for women who have a lot on their plate, right? Yeah. Doing a lot of different jobs. And I know that I've felt that way about motherhood and about business. When I started my design business, I knew I had a good eye, but I didn't have formal design training. You know, I didn't go to a fancy college. So I was like, I definitely can't do this. Right.
Yeah.
And I did. And it was successful and it continues to be successful. But, you know, I think we have to define success also in a different way. I got a lot of fulfillment out of it. It didn't create $1 million income for me.
Right.
And that's okay. Yeah. Right. That's okay. Yeah. I still enjoy it. I enjoy design so much that it's okay just to do it for the enjoyment of it, not necessarily because you want 1 million followers and $1 million paycheck.
Right.
And I think it slows people down from that standpoint. And it's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, especially with social media, you have TikTok and you're seeing all these people being wildly successful or super creative, or, you know, you're on Instagram, you see what someone's highlight reel of all the things they've accomplished. And, you know, comparison is now more than ever a huge part of how we show up. So I think it makes imposter syndrome a little bit more in your face, if really anything, because you're able to compare and contrast, again, those highlight reels, mm-hmm. that other people.
That may or may not be real. honestly, right? Yeah. You're not even sure if all of that is real or truthful, factual. We have no idea what their real life really looks like. But we compare ourselves to that highlight reel, and like, that's their real life all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. So our first guest today, Haley Acker, she's an artist. She is no stranger to self-promoting on social media and having her art out in the world to see in various different venues. So without further ado, I would love to introduce Haley. And Haley, how are you feeling today?
I feel good. Everything that you two are saying just made me want to blurt something out because it's so multifaceted. And that was the part that I was struggling with even thinking about this topic today, is there's a million different reasons why someone might feel this way.
Yeah.
There's a million different other things that are connected to feeling this way.
Right.
But
let's talk a little bit about Haley Makes It and kind of your backstory with art, where you started, the twists and turns you've taken in your creative journey. Just tell us a little bit about that process.
Yeah, so I've been making art as long as I've been alive. when I was little, I would spend so much time in my basement, and I had my easel and I had my cat down there, and my cat was not allowed upstairs in our house. Susie was only allowed in the basement. So I'd hang out with my cat in the basement and I would just draw pictures of her, which is weird because, you know, now I do a lot of pet portraits. I had watercolors. I had all kinds of different paints. I had, you know, those oil pastel kits that looked like they were suitcases that your aunt would get you for Christmas.
I may or may not have one of those in my basement right now.
Yeah. I had like five of those. I think like all my aunts and uncles knew that I liked art. So they would just be like, oh, one of these things. And then when I was pretty young, my mom put me in an art camp during the summer.
Oh, that's fun.
When I lived in Louisiana, and this was really cool. It's actually a business model that I would not mind stealing if children weren't so tiresome and unruly sometimes. I don't know how she reined us all in, but it was called Art Time. And it was this lady, and it was in Louisiana, and she'd have you for a week for, you know, a few hours a day, and you'd work on different projects. And I still have some of my first pieces that I ever did in her classes at home, and my mom still has some of them framed because they turned out good.
Right.
Like they weren't, I don't know how she did it. She took all these kids and she's like, this is how you make art. So fast forward to high school, I took drawing classes and I took basically every painting class I could have taken. I was in IB Studio Art and I was in the National Art Honor Society. But I think senior year of high school, I had a lot of artsy kids in that class, right? Like real artsy kids who were gonna go to art school, and I found them insufferable because I'm not good at taking myself too seriously. And I was like, you know, we're not reinventing the wheel here. We're making stuff that people potentially might want to purchase. You know, that's so I do think that, you know, some of the things that you were saying, like, oh, I didn't go to art school. I didn't get that fancy education. Columbus, Ohio is CCAD, which is an incredible art school. And this city is filled with people who went to that art school. So then when you're putting yourself out there, you are next to people who did learn how to do this and you can see it. Like there is a difference, but I just have to recognize that they have their own point of view and I have my own point of view, and those things are inherently different.
Yeah.
But actually I started painting again in college because I was taking a psych class, a social psych class that was around happiness, which is interesting that you brought up social comparison, because social comparison theory was one of the main reasons that people are unhappy.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I've taken away from that class and I still think about all the time. But my professor one day was like, everyone go home today and do one thing that makes you happy. So I sat on my porch on OSU campus and I did a painting of a popsicle, and it made me so happy that it made me start painting again. So I've been
amazing
doing it ever since, like pretty consistently. And I know I'm getting better all the time too, which is kind of cool to look back and see some of my pieces that I would change or update or make better.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Yeah.
I think the beautiful thing is that so many incredible artists over the years did not go to a fancy college.
No.
And yet their stuff is amazing, right? And so that doesn't always translate into being an amazing artist, right? That people connect with. It's the emotion.
Right.
It's the emotion of art that we connect with.
Exactly.
Know? And somebody can be really emotional about a piece for a whole bunch of different reasons.
Exactly.
And I think that's the beautiful thing about art and creativity. And that can't be taught. It's inherent. And it's inherent in you. And that's why you've been painting from the time you were a child, right?
Yes.
You showed up loving that and wanting to express it. And this is a little woo-woo, but I do believe that art sort of lives in the ether and picks people to show up through. And so I do think that why would you choose a popsicle, right? Like,
yeah,
but the popsicle wanted to be painted. You know, like, I do believe that there's some of that. Same with ideas, that they just sort of show up to people and to people who are receptive and open and are willing to bring that forth. And I think that's a beautiful thing. So,
yeah.
Thank you for doing
that. Yeah, of course. And I saw something recently on probably an Instagram reel where this guy was like, some days I'm really hard on myself about my art. I wish I remembered what his account was, but he was like, but the fact that I am an artist, the fact that I see the world differently than other people is inherent. And like, he was like, I get to walk outside and I get to be obsessed with how the trees look or how the sky looks or how this thing is. And I see beauty in the world that I'm not sure that everyone sees. And that's what makes me happy to be an artist, not doing a piece that I think is a masterpiece versus struggling with something else.
Right.
And you know, like, as someone who may or probably definitely does not have many inherent artistic abilities, I look at your art, right? And I look at the things that I love. Plants, for example. I look around this room and there are three of your artworks in here, and they're all plant themed, right? And I think what's also really beautiful is there's a million artists that paint plant related items, right? Like, I go to art shows all the time, mostly to see you. And there are a lot, but there's something about your specific style, right, that made me feel like I need these pieces, right? That, like, and it's more than just knowing you, right? It's definitely the style that I immediately related to and thought, like, this will make my house better to be in.
That's so nice. You have probably the same amount of art in your house from me that I have in my own house from me.
I love that.
Your house is an official gallery.
It's a gallery for
dedicated to me.
Yes.
But no, I just think it's a really wonderful thing where you know, I have many artist friends, but I definitely, the style that you create just makes me happy. And I love having it around. So.
Thank you. That's literally my entire goal. Like, I do paint by feeling. So when I look at something, if I don't feel settled and happy when I look at it, then I know it's not done.
Right.
Yes. Or I know that I need to paint over it and do something else. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's about the feeling.
For sure. And, you know, going back to our topic of imposter syndrome.
Yes.
You do a lot of shows.
Yes.
Can you talk to us a little bit about that experience and how that has shown up for you in those spaces?
And see, here's the thing. When you say, oh, you do a lot of shows, my brain immediately jumped to not as many as other people.
That comparison syndrome is real.
I've been getting to know some people. That's my favorite part, is talking to the people next to me. But there are some very talented people in the city who are constantly doing markets. And I decided to try doing it a couple of years ago. And I still have my first post from the first one I did. And it looks nothing like how I would do it now. So that's a good thing, right? And I think another thing about, or something I listened to about imposter syndrome recently was saying, if you can just reframe it as, I'm not an imposter, I'm just a beginner.
Mm-hmm. Love that. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make you feel as fraudulent if you approach it in a way where you're like, I'm still learning. I'm still learning how to do this. And I'm constantly looking at people around me who are doing it better. And that's fine and good for them. You know, like you can either meet people in the artistic world who are super supportive of other artists, or they have this like weird kind of like superiority complex. And I used to get really intimidated by those artists, and now I just don't really have time for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a very specific brand of people who are like, I only paint with oils. And if you paint with acrylics, like I do, you're a fraud. You're an imposter. You're not good enough. I painted with oils in high school. I've done it. I didn't like it. That's why I'm painting with acrylics. But I will have like those conversations where people are like, oh, you're a painter. What's your medium? Already hate you. I mean, sometimes it's asked innocently enough, but there's like this like, I don't even know how to explain it. There's this like essence of like, oh, what's your medium? Oh, I only paint with oils. Well, and they're just annoying about it. And I just don't have time for them anymore.
Yeah. I think that we can immediately, and I'm assuming you can too, I think all of us can immediately feel judgment when it's being passed.
Oh yeah.
And I think that's what you're describing, right? It's not the question, right? If I ask you what medium you use as a non-artist.
Right.
You would care less that I asked that question, right?
Exactly.
You'd be like, oh, I use acrylics and it would be an informational question.
Exactly.
Response. But coming from someone in that world, and then you can feel it. You can feel when somebody is comparing themselves to you.
Yeah.
And that's a story about them, right? That's a story that they don't have. I would tell you that their imposter syndrome is more than yours.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right? That if you are lashing out to someone in a judgmental way, you're trying to make yourself feel better than them.
Like the nice guy.
Story about them trying to make themselves feel better or make themselves feel superior in some way. And that is really speaking volumes about them and not about you and not about your talent. But it really should tell you, like, turn that around and go, oh, sorry you feel that way.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
It's an easy way to shift your mindset of like, I'm sorry that this person is struggling so much that they feel like they need to judge me in this moment, right? And then that takes that from being like, fuck off, to, bless your heart, right? Like, because that's a different energy for you, right? Like, that's a whole different energy for you. And I think that that is important for those of us who are struggling or starting and trying to being a beginner and feeling like we're fledgling. Oh, you're learning.
Yeah, you're learning.
You're learning. And if somebody is not being kind in that space, that's about them.
Yeah.
That's about them.
100%.
And being judgmental, you bring so much positivity everywhere you go. And it's beautiful. And your light is beautiful. And so when you're met with that, I think that it's an energy that you can feel, not so much what they say.
Because I'm not stupid either. Right. And it normally comes from dudes. it's like a dude artist thing. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I am painting a Pyrex bowl. Because I think it's cute.
Right.
And I'm not a fantasy werewolf. That's fine.
Yes.
Like, we both have our target audiences, and they are not the same people necessarily.
That's right.
Or they are the same people who will like multiple things.
Right.
Yes.
So, Haley, when you first got started in those moments, what keeps you from just being like, I'm not going to these shows anymore? Like, I'm done. Right? Like, You can, people have a real choice, right? In those moments when they feel that energy and they feel like they're being judged and in their mind, possibly judged by somebody that they believe is better than them.
Yeah.
It's not true necessarily. We're debunking that, right? But that's real. If you look at somebody, oh, they're so much more talented than me and they're coming up and they're bringing this judgmental energy, I don't deserve to be here, right? That's imposter syndrome. And then,
right.
So what has kept you sort of engaged in the game when you've run up against those moments?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I feel like I do learn something new every time I go to an art show. And yeah, even going to the Columbus Arts Festival a couple weekends ago, those are some very talented people. It's amazing to see what people were coming to that show with. I think the error in thinking would be they're so good that I don't belong here, because their being there has nothing to do with your existence in the space. It has to, I mean, these juried art shows are hard to get into. I actually have not. I applied for like two last year and I didn't get into either of them. And I was just like, I just don't feel like it because the applications are long. They cost money. They want a lot of things from you that vary. Having booths at these things is a very expensive thing to do. And it can be
time consuming,
but it can be really cost prohibitive to have the professional tent with the professional panel walls. And you have to be pretty confident that you're going to make that money back at those shows. So I think my way of approaching things is I'm going to keep doing things. I'm going to keep applying for things, even if I don't think I can get in. That was something I had to get over.
Tell us about that.
I think I used to be too afraid to apply for a show because I was like, there's no way I'm going to get in this. Like, there's no way in hell I'm getting in here. But it doesn't hurt to just apply.
Right.
The worst thing that can happen is, oh no, Labor Day, you get to go to a cookout instead of an arts festival. Yeah, like that's the worst possible thing that can happen is they can say no.
That's a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that can happen?
And you're out $30 maybe for an application.
So I know. You're afraid of it and you do it anyway.
Yes.
And I think that's a big takeaway from this, right? Is that being afraid and doing it anyway is really how people get over imposter syndrome, right? Is that you continue just to scares me. I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because I can.
I think it goes back to that happiness piece though, right? So when you're doing it out of, and this is something I want to talk about next, but when you're doing it out of joy and happiness and something that you feel called to do, it does make it easier for like the no's or like the being willing to put yourself out there, right?
Yeah.
I thought this podcast, that's something I wanted to do for a long time. And, you know, there's always a fear that no one will listen, that no one will enjoy your content. But at the end of the day, if you're doing the thing that you want to do that brings you joy and talking to women about their, you know, passions and what prevents women from doing these things, at least putting a voice to that is enough for me. So I think there's just something about continuing to show up and do things and not knowing what the outcome's going to be and being okay with that, right?
Yeah.
And I know you've done a lot of art for people, a lot of commission work.
Yes.
A lot of pet work.
Yes.
And I have to assume, because you've done one for my mom, for example, most people are genuinely moved when they see these photos of their pets. So can you talk a little bit about the difference of doing an event where you're showing up with art that you love and you hope someone else loves versus maybe some positives and some harder things about doing commission work where, you know, people are pretty emotionally connected to what they're asking of you.
Yeah. It comes with a lot. It's a lot more draining, like just emotionally draining. A lot of times people don't want portraits of their pets until they're deceased. So it adds another layer on top of it. Like I'm immortalizing this soul that has meant so much to you. It's not uncommon when I give someone a piece. And honestly, I don't love delivering them directly to people if I don't know them. I've had to deliver them to strangers before on behalf of someone who's commissioned it for me. And they immediately tear up. People get like immediately, the first time I ever did a pet portrait, I did a painting of my my cat, Dot, who my dad was like very attached to after she passed away. I did a portrait of her and I gave it to him for Christmas. And he kind of hid behind the canvas a little bit because it made him tear up. And it was like in front of like our extended family. And I will say more often than not, that is the response I get. So it is like, it takes a lot more prep work. It takes a lot more, there's just more riding on the outcome. Like I don't ever want someone to get a pet portrait from me and not be like, this is them. So I mean, I have ways of doing that. I'm way stricter on my requirements for reference photos now than I was when I first started, because that I recognize that that's part of it. I didn't meet that animal, so I don't know their essence, but I can capture it if I get a good enough look at their eyes And usually their nose helps. If I can capture their nose and their eyes really well, that's usually what people are looking at above all. That makes sense. But yeah, so it's a lot more draining. I tend to get a little bit more avoidant when I'm doing them. Like, I'll start it and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to put this over here for a couple of weeks and work on something else. But then I also, I think because of my like ADHD, then I can't do any art.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh no, I have this assignment that I haven't finished. And then I start to like get a little bit resentful of the commissioned piece. And then like one day I finally go like, okay, that's it. Today it's happening. And I sit down and I do it. And when I'm done with it, I'm like, I love it. But like the journey getting there is so much longer.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I talk to other friends who are artists too. And the temptation to start another piece when you're like halfway through one and it's not, they have to get to like 3/4 of the way there before it starts to feel like you're getting something out of it. Like you're getting that reward for it being done, I guess. So it's just getting over that hump. It's hard.
Yeah. 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 Just interesting because I can't imagine the different sides of that spectrum of imposter syndrome of like showing up to an art show versus like having to capture an essence of a beloved pet. Like those things are just very intense in different ways. So.
Yes. And there's definitely commission work that I won't do. But I'm not mean about it. Like if someone asks me to do something that's not what I have honed as a skill already, it's not that I don't want to try something new. It's that the learning curve takes so much extra time that it doesn't feel like it's worth my time unless it's something that I want to hone on my own. So people ask me to do portraits of people. I don't do people. There are some artists who are very good at capturing people. I'm not one of them.
Yeah.
And that's fine with me. I will probably go on Etsy and be like, this is probably what you're looking for. This is all this person does. They already have honed this skill. You should probably hire them instead of me. Or if someone asks me for something that I know that they can find on Etsy for $10, I'm like, it's not worth you paying me so much money. That's probably also not enough money to compensate for the additional effort it would take me to learn that when there's a person already here who does that.
Right.
And that's not imposter syndrome. That's just redirecting. Like,
no, that's just knowing your strengths. Yeah. You're very aware of what you're strong at and what you're not strong at. And what you're willing to learn and not learn.
Right.
What you want to tackle and not tackle. And that's the great thing about being an entrepreneur, right? Is that you get to choose.
Yes.
You get to choose.
You get to choose all the things.
All the things. Whether you work, whether you don't work, whether you get money, whether you don't. You know.
I can decide I want to start sewing tomorrow. I have a sewing machine.
Yeah.
Don't know why.
You might need it one day.
Yeah, might need it.
Macrame painting pots for plants, which I also have one of those hanging in this room.
So beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And you know, you've not been afraid to kind of like the records, right? Like painting on records. So what has made you take those risks in doing something different?
I don't know that it feels like a risk to me at all, honestly. Mm. It's just that that's the reason why my brand isn't like, you know, like Haley Williams painter, you know, like I have so many more interests than that. And I think that you could probably feel the same way. Like, I also would love to like do design work. I would love to do interior design. I would love to own a sandwich shop. I would love to like there's just so many other, like when you're a creative person, you're a creative person. And you're like this too, Amanda. Like you take on new interests, you try new things, you dive into them headfirst. It's just, it doesn't feel like a risk when it's just experimenting and being like, you know what, this would be kind of cool. I'm gonna try it and it's fun. And that's good. Yeah. What the record started with just like I had a bunch of them. So I was like, what can I do with these? There's like small studies of just one thing. I like to paint on like 5x5 foot canvases normally.
Yeah.
But most people don't have the space or the budget for those size paintings. So if I can do something little to get into someone's home, like, fine, I'll do it.
Yeah. Love that.
The records are beautiful. I'm looking
Thank
at
you.
Them.
And see, I mean, even I'm looking at them right now and I'm like, I want to redo them.
Two out of the eight that I have.
Yeah.
But what's so cool about them is they are also different. I bought them at different time. I think
yeah.
some are pretty far apart.
Yeah.
Because one was like spooky season.
Yeah.
I do have those up all year round. But
that's fine.
I love them. But I think they're all so different, right? And you also painted these really beautiful sunsets and moonscape, if you will, that I feel like look completely different from those, like stylistically. I don't know. I'm not an artist. But stylistically, they feel so different, but they're still like connected, I feel like.
Yeah.
And like the brand of who you are as an artist.
Yes. And I think that's the other brand is the big thing that I wrote down to talk about, because I think that people wanting to have a consistent brand for themselves, because that's what you see on social media. You have to be a brand. You are your brand. You have to only do things in this color palette. You have to only do this particular style of whatever in order to be successful. That's sort of like what any entrepreneur that is big on social media will tell you. That sucks. That message sucks.
Yeah.
Because it means that, like, once you're tired of that thing, you can't do something else. Like,
yeah.
That's dumb.
How do you then feel like you're able to be cohesive, less of a brand, right? Like, how do you feel like you're cohesive with what you do? Because there is a cohesiveness to it, I would say. Like, I think if you look around, I have a lot of art, and I think you would know pretty quickly, oh, those are Haley's, but they're all very different, but still you.
I think that I think everyone's naturally drawn to the same kind of stuff. It's just paying attention to what you're drawn to. Yeah, I've had a pretty consistent type of thing that I'm drawn to my entire life. I've always liked antiques. I've always liked tchotchkes. I've always liked bright colors. I've always, you know, there's things of your taste does evolve with you as you get older, but I think people consistently are drawn to the same type of stuff their whole life. It's just paying attention.
Right.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like even being in your house, you can see what you're drawn to.
I would say mine has drastically changed over the years, though.
How so?
I think that when I was really young, you know, my style was just what I'd been exposed to.
Right.
And so I had been exposed to only a certain style, and it was very country, and it was a lot of checkered things, and
which I love.
You know, I don't disagree, right? But at some point, even as a young adult, I became a mother very early in my life, so I went from living at home to having my own kids, and so it was just what I inherited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What was given to me, what I had access to, what right. monetarily I could afford, which is usually hand-me-downs of some sort that I just made look good, which is, you know.
Right. But it's that making it look good where
that's the talent,
perspective,
right?
Comes
right.
In.
Yeah. In your perspective, right? And so, as you can take found things and put them together in different ways and make it aesthetically look good.
Because not everybody can do that.
Right. Right. And so that was what I realized was my talent,
yeah.
right? And that came out of really necessity.
Yeah.
I didn't have the funds. I didn't have the money. I had three kids at a very young age. And so, you know, I just had to make do with whatever it was. And so when I got older, became a nurse, had some income, then you start to realize that I get to choose what this looks like, right? And I don't have to necessarily have it be all country. And I also have always loved antiques. I always love repurposing old things into new mm-hmm. purpose things. Still to this day, that
yep.
makes me really, really happy. So you'll find a lot of those things around my house is a lot of antique pieces, and I don't care about that, you know, where some people could be like, oh, well, what designer did you use?
Mm-hmm.
What furniture designer did you use?
I don't know. I found this solid wood piece.
I just fell in love with it.
Yeah.
You know, I just fell in love with this piece. And so it's not about that ever for me. And so, you know, if that was never the clientele that I found, right. That found me is mm-hmm. not, is the people that were really interested in name dropping. Cause Sorry. You know, yeah. I know a few, but I wasn't in that world. And that world didn't really entice me, you know, and I'm not judging it. It's just not, was not my forte. And the people that were more on a sort of my same vein is who found me in business.
Right.
Right. And was like, oh, I love what you did. And you take all these things and you just make them look good.
Yeah.
You know,
those people who want designer pieces, they can find
they're going to find a high end designer.
Yeah, they can find that person.
Yeah.
That person's out there.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
yes.
You're doing what is true to you.
Correct.
And the people who are drawn to what you're doing are going to find you.
But there was a period of time that I felt like I needed to know all of that.
Yeah.
And I so could make myself go there.
Oh, you mean, so it was like the oil painting.
It was the oil painting. It was the same thing, right? Yeah. In that I was like, I know. You know, and I would start to like dive in and start to learn. And I'm an avid learner. I'm constantly learning. And it wasn't aligned with me.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, nope.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you're both saying, and I think that's the whole point of this conversation, is when you show up authentically and you do the things that bring you joy and bring you passion that you love, the right people will find you.
Right.
You worry less and less and less about qualifications of others, and you just consistently show up in a way that's authentically you, and then everything else happens the way it should. You don't have to try as hard or be as anxious around, you know, what you may or may not have that someone else does, when you're just saying, well, this is who I am, this is me authentically, and you know, I'm going to continue being this person.
Right.
So
I totally agree. It's absolutely true. Haley, have you ever had one of the shows that you go to and like nobody buys it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That happens.
And like those suck because it's just like, wow, I wasted this day. It was hot. I probably spent money to be here. You know, sometimes, you know, a friend or my husband has come with me to help set up, you know, just so you have to, there are some wins and there are some losses, and that's just what it is. And it's okay. And it's at shows like that where it's slow. No one's really buying things. There's just a lot of people kind of walking through with, you know, and not really buying things from anybody. And that's when, you know, I take the opportunity to start talking to the artists in my neighboring booths and like getting to know them and following them on social media, asking them what markets they do. And so that the time doesn't feel completely wasted.
Well, that's the grit of it all, right?
Yeah.
So taking that and saying, how can I make this an opportunity? How can I turn this around so there's some sort of impact? And well, the growth mindset didn't want to bring it up.
You love bringing it up.
I didn't want to bring it up.
Like, we should really talk about growth mindset, because I do think it plays a lot in this whole field in the topic we're talking about, and I do think it's what keeps people pushing forward versus stopping when there's any sort of roadblock or imposter syndrome is really on the forefront of their mind. You either have a growth mindset or you don't.
And
those who don't do not push forward, right?
Do not.
Would have cried and packed her stuff up and been like, I'm clearly not meant to sell art, nobody wants it, I'm never coming back to another show. That would have been the end of that. So
In every failure, there's a learning, right? And if you look at things as failures, which is a fixed mindset, right, then you're not going to get better. You're just going to continue to say, this thing's too hard, this thing wasn't beneficial, I give up. Growth mindset is all about saying, what can I do from this to make a learning? How can I take this, whether it be failure, opportunity, just not the best outcome, and say, but there's something here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I can take from this. There's something I can learn from this. Next time, I'm going to do this. Like, I feel like you met the coolest people.
Like, and I've met a few people at shows. So, like, we like message each other on Instagram. We're like, how are you doing? Like, what shows are you doing this year? Like, oh, good, we'll be at this one together. And it's like, you build a little community. And there's even people whose design aesthetic or whatever they're creating is completely different from mine, but they're still like, oh my gosh, I want one of your records, you know? And I'm like, oh, I want one of your things. Like, we don't all have to be the same in order to appreciate each other's stuff.
For sure.
Amen to that.
So
it's cool that you're creating that, you know, and I think that's important.
Oh yeah.
In what you're doing and creating community and having people that going through the same journey and feeling supported by each other.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Yeah. And you totally read my mind. I was going to say, you know, wrapping up these conversations, we really want to know a little bit about some women that have inspired you, right? So community is so, so important, and building community is important. That's what we're doing here with Untamed Blossoms. Mm-hmm. Whether it be with women in these conversations or be through events, get together just so we can have these more meaningful conversations around different topics. But next to building a community, what's also really crucial is just women who have inspired you, or women who have helped you believe in yourself or push you forward, or just those who have given you inspiration. So can you share?
There are so many women who've been influential to me over the years. The last thing I will say about imposter syndrome is everyone reaches adulthood and then realizes that everyone's playing pretend.
When am I supposed to feel like a grown-up?
We're all just here trying to figure it out.
Yeah, when are you supposed to feel like a grown-up?
As the elder of the group sitting here at 53, I will tell you that there are still days where you're like, what's my purpose? You know, like, I can't tell you how many times I'm like, are they going to tell me my purpose today? Like, if I sit down with a reader or a tarot, or like, are they going to give it to me? Like, and that's when I realized, like, this is the process, right?
Yeah, there's no finish line.
Is that there's no finish line, and this is my purpose. Figuring myself out is my purpose.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I do feel like we've lost our connection as women. We've stuffed ourselves into air-conditioned homes in neighborhoods that we don't ever come out, and we don't ever speak to one another, and we're so isolated. And we used to be communal. Mm-hmm. You know, we used to bleed in tents together, right? Like,
right,
we really did used to be very supportive of one another. And I think that our culture has just moved us into such an isolatory state that that's the whole point of Untamed Blossoms is really to reconnect women to each other and realize that we love each other and we support each other and we need each other.
Yeah.
And it's been beautiful to talk to you. And I'm glad that you're part of our tribe.
Thank you. I have one more thing I want to say about it.
Yeah.
It can be a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, that was one thing I, like, read over and over and over again. I was reading different studies because I was being hypervigilant because of the imposter syndrome. I need to read research articles. I need to, like, read a book, probably. All of them were checked out, by the way, which means that this is a good topic.
Yeah.
Right. I couldn't find a single book in a Columbus library about this because they're all headlines for them. So this is a good topic.
Yeah.
I was going to say, like, I think if you don't have imposter syndrome about what you're pursuing, you probably don't care about it. Mm-hmm. Like, it means that you, like, give a shit.
Yeah.
And if you're not able to, like, fight through that, it's hard to fight through it, but, like, it means it's like anxiety and excitement have the same physiological, effects on your body.
Yes.
It's just like how you frame it. So if you're feeling like an imposter, you're feeling like you can't do it, it's probably because you really, really care about that thing.
And people frame that all the time with fear, right?
Yes.
So like a healthy dose of fear about something is good.
Right.
It keeps you alive. It keeps you excited. It keeps you on your toes, right? Like all of those things. I think, like you said, imposter syndrome is just another framing of that feeling. Mm-hmm. Of I want to be good at this thing. Yeah. I want to do it.
I want to succeed.
Day. Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Okay. So women.
Love them.
Love them. I've wanted to bring them up so many times. okay. So my first, I guess, like artistically and like where my point of view and where I come from as far as my taste goes, I would have to like say it's a marriage of like both my grandmothers. My mom's mom was like what you were talking about. She, you know, had 8 kids, worked in a factory. But her house was so eclectic and cool, and she knew how to find stuff, and she knew how to stretch a dollar and like make something out of nothing, make something out of like trash, you know, like right. She like really did like I loved being at her house, and she like knew how to like make it welcoming and fun and also like totally her own with a million tchotchkes, like borderline hoarding, but in the most fun way possible. And like I've even like when one of my older cousins came to my house for the first time, she's like, I feel like I just like walked
into
grandma's house a little bit.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, that's the nicest thing you could have ever said to me. And then like my dad's mom
She also just had this like really incredible eye for antiques, or like she'd find things in thrifty ways at like auctions and thrift stores, but she knew quality when she would see it. So like any of like her house or like the cottages that we have up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, they're all decorated with things that she's found over years of like traveling and all this stuff. Like she would take a wrought iron headboard from an old bed that was rusted, and she would put it in her flower garden, and it was gorgeous. Like she just like she always had like an eye for stuff like that. So I feel like having both of those grandmas, although one is, you know, a little bit more elevated in her taste and you know, the other one's just like silly. Like I feel like I feel both of those things like very strongly. like I want it to be silly. I don't want it to take itself too seriously, but I do like things that are good. Like good quality.
Right.
So both my grandmothers for sure. And, you know, both of them could be very stubborn. So it's just something to like think about, because I know that's where I come from. And then my other like big inspiration as far as like female artists goes, I grew up dancing. In my years of studying dance, I was a pretty serious dancer for like over half of my life now. I had to study a lot of the mothers of contemporary dance. It wasn't so like in my classes, I didn't just take dance classes. We also like had history lessons in those classes. So I learned a lot. And so I think some of the biggest women who I still think about, who still inspire me all the time, are some of the pioneers of contemporary dance, like Martha Graham, Isadora Duncan, Twyla Tharp. Like Martha Graham and Isadora Duncan in particular were like dancing barefoot when it wasn't appropriate for women to like show their ankles still, you know, and it's just, they've always been a huge inspiration to me. But in particular, Twyla Tharp has this incredible book called The Creative Habit. Okay. And it's not just about being a dancer. It's about being anyone who's creative at all. And I need to reread it. It's been a few years, but I remember one of the first stories she talks about is getting in the taxi cab. She's like, it's not about, she's like, when I get up in the morning, I know that I have to go dance. I know that I have to go to my studio. I know that I have to create. She's like, but the hurdle is whether or not I get in the cab to go to the studio. It's not getting to the studio. It's not the act of dancing. It's getting in the cab.
Yeah.
And that has always stuck with me too. When I have a million projects that I want to do, setting up paint, setting up your station, you know, getting it all like ready, that is a hurdle. Like, so if you can just get past that, actually painting is not a chore at all. Actually dancing is not a chore at all. It's just, it's like going to the gym. If you get in the car to go to the gym, you're going to work out.
Yep.
So I think about Twyla Tharp, her advice a lot. And then I also wrote Martha Stewart.
She's just the best combination of things that should go together that do.
Yeah. And I just want to be her so bad.
Yeah.
I think that's what I was talking about earlier with having a million interests. Martha Stewart did not decide she was one thing.
Yeah.
She does.
Still.
She's never just
she's
been.
Like, what, 80?
Also didn't start building her business until she was 53.
Yeah. See, but she's never just been one thing. She's telling you how to host. She's telling you how to freaking make the perfect chicken.
Yeah.
But she's also telling you how to decorate. She's telling you how to do all these different things. And yeah, I just, that's why I'm Haley Makes It and not Haley Paints
It stuff.
Things. Which is true. Like a lot of the stuff I do is just painting different objects, but I didn't want to like feel, I want to feel like if at any point I decide I want to be a YouTube chef, I could do it and not have to change my name.
You do love YouTube chefs.
I'm a fan of so many YouTube chefs, but it's like, I don't ever want to feel like pigeonholed by one thing. And she's like a perfect example of that.
And hang out with Snoop Dogg.
Again, just smoking weed with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah. I mean, what else could you ask for?
Amen. After her prison stint. I mean,
yeah,
she's kind of been all over the place. Yeah. You know what I mean? She's kind of done it all.
You know, I can't do this for you.
I'm just saying, it's like, you're like, she's so put together, but she's not.
I love those answers. Those are fantastic answers. Yeah. So good.
Any last words, Haley?
No, I just appreciate you letting me come here and talk at you.
I loved it. Yeah. It was excellent. Christy, anything last words, anything?
I think we've covered it all. I think, you know, my last words would be, do what sparks you. Do what makes you happy. Do what makes your heart really happy. Do part of that every day.
Absolutely.
Keep even doing if you're your not life. Good at it.
Even if you're not good
at it. Especially if you're not good at it.
You know? Yeah. You want to sling mud and make pottery and, you know, it looks like some, you know, something fell off of a pottery wheel and that's what happened. Do it. You know, yeah. If that's what makes your heart happy, do it. That's
yes.
all I would say.
Don't be afraid to fail.
Be afraid to fail.
You'll learn something from it.
Yep.
So, Haley, where can people find you on the socials if they want to see your things?
Yeah. So I'm Haley Makes It on like everything. So I have a TikTok, Haley Makes It, H-A-L-E-Y.
H-A-L-E-Y. We'll make sure we put this all over the notes.
I spell my name H-A-L-E-Y. So it's, yeah, Haley Makes It all one word. I have, yeah, Instagram. I have TikTok. I have a Facebook page. My website's under construction. I have it. I have the domain name and stuff. It's just, it's been on the back burner because I'm making so much stuff.
Talking, and they're going to be Instagramming.
Yeah, exactly. Like so it doesn't feel as like pressing.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah. Do you have a store on one of those locations?
No.
Okay.
Because a lot of the times when I'm making a bunch of stuff, it's for market season.
Okay. Got you.
But after I have this really big show. Not really big show, but it's big for me. It feels big for me.
That's going to be great.
In the Upper Peninsula of Michigan in Marquette. It's the Outback Art Fair. It happens at the same time as Art on the Rocks. And I'm doing that this year. I've been going to it for years. And this year I'm participating. And I'm really excited. But it does mean that I have a lot of stuff to do.
Maybe an Etsy page is coming.
Yeah. So I think after that, I'll jump on Etsy.
Because, so all these really cool records that you're playing, these little vinyl records.
Yeah, and mine will be repurposed. The really good ones.
So we wish you the best of luck, and we are definitely going to plug all of your things, which we do anyway. We love you. Thank you for coming.
Love you. Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
Yep, and we will see you next week. Bye, all.
Soundstripe.